Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. These words conclude the third chapter of the epistle which Paul wrote unto the Ephesians. God's servant in that chapter declares that great mystery of being called out of that darkness into that communion with Christ Jesus. And that happened mostly to the Jews in the Old Testament. But when Paul was writing, it also was given in large measure unto the Gentiles, and then no longer by being bound to the ceremonial laws. Rather, the apostle was given to proclaim to them the unsearchable riches of Christ, that they also would be partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. And what is then Paul's desire? What is his prayer? He said that ye might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth of height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We cannot enlarge on all these words, but the very sound, the very hearing of those words must convey unto us what treasures of grace and salvation lie declared in those words. And what does the apostle then do? At the end of the chapter, he sings a doxology. And therein he magnifies God's greatness, glory, unbounded love, abundant mercy, and that saving, gracious power. The apostle desires to lift up God above all else. And then words fail to express what all lies contained in those words. And therefore he says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Have you now ever experienced that? Have you now ever been brought into such a case? Then you will have found out something. Then you will have experienced something of what the apostle mentions. He says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Three times. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that gracious power of Christ Jesus was not hidden for Paul. He had experienced it because the Lord had converted even him. He had received those unsearchable riches. And see, not only had the Lord begun to convert him, but he also continually manifested his grace to him. And the Lord also promised he would finish that grace in the life of the apostle. And then it becomes so evident that the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we pray for, that we expect, that we hope, that we can ever conceive in our mind. And see, so it is with every chosen vessel, with everyone born again, with everyone that has received that quickening grace of God's Spirit. Everyone whose feet, who has been brought to that narrow gate, and whose feet have been brought upon that straight, narrow way. You know what you then experience. And let God's people say if it is not true. Then you have experienced that God is a surprising God. Here. Able, and not only able, but he does show exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Then the Lord is not a stingy God, but then he is so liberal, freely giving that mercy. It says in Psalm 86 that he is ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon his name. Oh, then he is the one able, and you experience that he shall also do it. And let then God's church today testify, is that true or is that false? Is that true or is that false? Oh, it is surely true, they say it to the last one, because far more than I could ask, far more than I could think, far more than I can pray, as the Lord provided. Oh, and therefore it shall turn out so beyond the expectation of a people that is poor and needy, that is helpless and hopeless, that is in trouble, affliction, and in woe. They have to experience, yes, that it is more and more lost on their side. That it is more and more becoming a sinner before God on their own side. But then they also experience, and that is now the wonder, exceeding abundant above all that they ask or think. If they have to enter into what they deserve, it is lost. It is ruined, and then a prayer can be born, given by the Spirit. But the Lord always gives more to his people than they think or ask or expect. Oh, he ever remains mindful of them, because he is faithful to himself, to his people, to his covenant. And then he will prove children of God. Let me say it differently. Then he will prove needy, afflicted, and hopeless sinners that he shows above, abundantly, exceedingly, above all that you can ask or that you can think. He will show that he is a surprising God. And with the Lord's help, we hope to say a little about that this morning. Going again to that case of the man taken with the palsy. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 20 lies before us. Luke 5, verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee thus far. Jesus' mercy to one taken with palsy. That's what we began to speak about. We saw the last time the coming unto Jesus. And now what we have to consider next is that benefit from the Savior. Coming to the Savior and then the benefit of that Savior. How was it now with that man who was lying there at the feet of the Savior? Poor, afflicted, hopeless, helpless. He was palsied according to the body. No strength in his muscles. No strength in his sinews. And nevertheless, a man unto whom the Lord had given opened eyes. A man in whose heart the Holy Spirit had begun to uncover the reason of his misery. And that was his sin. He pointed no fingers to others, but he only had his own sin, iniquity to contend with. And see, that is the reason why he was not serving God, not following God, not obeying God. Then it was, turn thou unto me in mercy. Have compassion on my soul. I am so distressed and lonely. Waves of trouble o'er me roll. How was it now with that sinner that lay there at the feet of the Savior? He had guilt. He had sin. He was ashamed of it. But he did not know how to pay his debt. He did not know how to be saved. He did not know how it had to go further in his life. Do you know how it was? The Lord had provided friends to him, a wonder. Not only outward friends, but soul friends. They cared for his bodily needs and they helped him faithfully. But they also understood his spiritual burdens. They experienced the same in their own heart. They were not strangers to those leadings that are wrought by the Spirit in the hearts of God's people. And so the Lord had given in their heart to bring their friend unto Jesus, that he may be helped and that he may be healed. And we consider their faith, that regardless of the obstacles and the trials, at last, through the roof, they let down that man at the feet of Jesus. So how was it now with that man? Because all that way that he was brought unto Jesus, he never saw Jesus. He had no eyes to direct unto him because Jesus was not in view. But Jesus was very much the one he yearned for. That is the one he longed for. He could not do without him. And now at last, there he lay at the feet of the Savior. And now his eyes saw him, whom his soul loved. Oh, his eyes saw the Savior, the only one of whom he knew in his heart. Perhaps not there to say, but that's the only one who can help me. How was it now with that man? Just as we sang from Psalm 25. Toward even ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord. You say, but The Psalter speaks about that watchful care. Oh, yes. There is a people that does not dare to say that watchful care will be shown to me. Their eyes are fastened to that deliverer. But shall it be for them like that leper? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, then it was for him. Show to me thy mercy. Deliver me from this desolate state, unworthy, undeserving, guilty. He was but a wretch. Turn to me, thy grace impart. I am desolate indeed. Is it your picture? Is it your picture, young and old and listeners from far? Are those needs of this palsied man your needs? Is his desire also your desire, or is it the world? We will not enlarge it, no. But is now the need, the great soul's need of this man, also the need in your soul? Oh, that man did not speak, not with his lips, but his eyes told volumes. What did we say the last time? That man lay at the best place, at the feet of Jesus. He could not and he would not walk away. He was like Mordecai at the king's gate, and he would not go away from that gate of the king. Ah, a congregation, that is a mercy, because such people at last shall not be put to shame. Oh, then they shall receive what the Lord has given unto them. We read it, that Jesus was going to speak unto them. And what is it then that we read? And when he saw their faith, he is Jesus, he that is the Son of God, that is the Son of Man, that is the only one that can deliver us from the greatest need and make us partaker of the greatest good. The Apostle Peter says, unto you who believe, he is precious. But someone says, ho. Is that now true of this wretched, poor man taken with the palsy? Is that just listen to the text. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, those four friends, and this man taken with the palsy. Oh, Jesus saw that man, helpless, hopeless, guilty. But what did Jesus now see in that man? Oh, he is God, all-knowing, heart-searching, merciful, mighty. It is true. But he saw his own work by the Spirit in the heart of that man. And that was a wonder. He saw their faith. He beheld his own works. Oh, his eyes search out the deepest recesses of our heart. That means he sees all our sins. It also means that he sees grace that he placed there by his Spirit. He has drawn this man. He has led this man, those four men, those four friends, to carry their friend before the feet of Jesus. That was his doing. And now he saw also their faith, those four friends, and of this man as well. Oh, and now he will draw out that faith. There is a lesson here. And what is that lesson? There is a people on this earth that often cannot see, that often cannot believe. They have faith in their heart. They have sighs, sometimes tears, wants, confessions, shame, thirsting, hungering, longing, yearning. And they cannot believe that that is faith. But Jesus says that he saw their faith. Those five friends are so united in this. They all had received that true and saving faith. And therefore they understand each other spiritually so well. Sometimes even without talking, then you can be together. Then you can see it on each other. People, I won't say people of God, but people whose life is no longer in the world and whose heart's desire is to be with God's people. What does the Lord Jesus now do? When he saw that faith, there was a beggar. And there was a beggar also, four beggars on the roof. And the Lord Jesus knew them. And he was bound to them. There was that communion with him. The Lord Jesus read them as an open book. He knew exactly what was in their heart. Oh, then it is such a wonder if sometimes it is experienced that the Lord knows of our case. For what do we read in 138? That the work he has for his people begun, he never forsakes it, but by his grace it will be fully done. Oh, then he will do this for this man, taken with the palsy, poor, afflicted, and needy. Congregation, have you ever been in such a condition? Has that ever been your experience, looking, waiting, all eagerly listening, if there may be one word that is even for you? Then you can go to church at times, or you read your Bible at times, and you beg, Lord, one word. As that woman, one crumb. As a thirsty soul, one drop, one glance. And here it is then, one word. Oh, and what do you then desire to hear? You do not prescribe. You do not tell it. But that the Lord freely may give it. And what was now this one word? What was now the first word that this man, taken with the palsy, heard from the lips of the Savior? We read it in Matthew. Mark also has recorded it. Do you remember it still? What was that word? Son. Son. Not bastard. And not generation of vipers. Not children of the devil. That was all true from the side of that palsied man. But the Lord Jesus used the word son. In the original it is very tender, like a child. Almost like a little child. He says, son. And therein lies now declared that wonder of sovereign grace alone. That wonder of the eternal good pleasure from which this flowed forth. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Oh, that one word was balm of Gilead upon the poor man's heart, taken with the palsy. It was such a powerful consolation flowing from the lips. Who has compassion for the poor and for the needy? Oh, that is now precisely suited to the case of this unworthy sinner. When that younger son returned, what did he say to his father? I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Is there now one here this morning who has also made that confession in truth? I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Do not skip that over. The Lord does not. But then I am not worthy to be called thy son. Oh, when then he was in the arms of his father kissed away that confession of guilt from this man. Oh, here it was. This palsied man knew that he had sinned himself outside of God's communion. He had been brought then in paradise where he had departed from God with no intention ever to return. Where he learned that he had forsaken that fountain of living waters and hewn out broken cisterns that can hold no water. Oh, but now the Lord Jesus says something over against that. He says, son. He says, son. That means I bring you now. I have brought you now into my communion. Oh, and now I will give you that well-founded hope for eternity. Because a son means a child that is born again. A son means that I now have a loving father. A son means that I am part of that spiritual family. Oh, then I have learned from the Lord that he is so good even unto me. Then I shall have mercy indeed. That was an encouragement for this man, was it not? Oh, yes. But then the Lord Jesus followed this up with a second encouragement. He says, not only son, but he adds, be of good cheer. And congregation, being of good cheer, that is very remarkable. An expression in the original that is very strong. Because what does he mean? Jesus stirs up the faith in that heart of this palsied man. It is as if the Lord says, by be of good cheer, trust in me. Rely upon me. Rest now upon me. I take care of all these things. I know your trouble. I know your affliction. I know your weakness. I know all your burdens. But be of good cheer. Because I will help you. I will take care. I freely encourage you. I say unto you, son, be of good cheer. Oh, you are helpless in yourself. But I am the helper too, because God the Father has laid upon me that help. And then I can show that help also to you. You do not know how to be saved, how to help yourself, but I do. And therefore be of good cheer. Leave that to me. Are there now such here this morning that also have to say, my case is not solved. I still go in mourning, many times so burdened, so grieved, and so bowed down. Oh, but then, is it then not true what the Lord says? Surely it is true, because the Lord says, now you may hope in me. I give you trust in me. I give you to leave it in my hands, that you may yield all your trouble. And what must you now do? Poor palsied man, wait upon me. Yea, trust and never fear. Leave it then with me. We said, are there such here this morning hour? You know how it is then in your heart as we sing together.